Welcome to the quarterly audio series of the North & Shantz Consulting Group. We call this series Straightforward, and it's designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes his guest, Scott Sheffy, president of Sheffy Integrated Marketing. Roger and Scott will be discussing Scott's leadership journey. Now from the North & Shantz Consulting Group, here's Roger North.
I've been thinking a lot about symbols lately. I'm very interested in symbols and symbolic behavior, symbolic language. And I got to thinking lately about what are the two most recognizable symbols in American culture. And it didn't have to be two, but I came up with two. And I got to thinking that the two most recognizable symbols in American culture are the red, white, and blue American flag. We all recognize that and know what it stands for. And the Nike swoosh. The Nike swoosh seems to be everywhere, and I guess as I think about the concept of branding, which is something I'd love to talk with Scott about today, I think about what a marvelous job the Nike Corporation has done with that swoosh. We see it everywhere, we know what it stands for, and we don't even need words under it anymore. And it seems to be almost an enduring American symbol, certainly not to the level of the American flag, hopefully, but the Nike swoosh is everywhere. And to me, it's a symbol of what branding can accomplish. And so I thought it would be fun because there's a lot of conversation in the business world right now about branding and the value of it and how you go about creating a brand. So I thought it'd be fun to have my great friend Scott Sheffy on with me today to educate us a little bit, not only about his company and his leadership journey, but also about the process of branding. Welcome, Scott. Welcome to Straightforward.
Hello, Roger.
Great to have you here today. And maybe before we get into a conversation about branding, which I'm really excited to do today, I think it would be great to talk a little bit about our history. When we started our business back in 1997, you were our first landlord. Did you ever think of yourself as a landlord?
I didn't consider myself a landlord. I was just a neighbor of yours.
Well, back in those days in 1997, Scott had Sheffy Advertising. It was over on Foxshire Drive in Lancaster, and he had a little bit of extra space, and we started our business. We leased three rooms from Scott. We had a door that went out into the hallway, and so did he, but the adjoining door between our offices was not even locked. It just started a relationship for me that has been very, very special, and we were able to share some of the beginning stages of our business and hopefully give some mutual value to each other and develop a great friendship along the way. So it's great to have you on to talk about this. I can't believe I've been doing Straightforward for 8 or 9 years and never had you on before. So
I didn't want to say anything, but I'm glad you finally asked me.
Well, hey, Scott, talk a little bit about your business. And I think it would be fun to kind of figure out, how does one get into the advertising business? How did you get your start?
Well, for me, it was an easy thing. It wasn't even a decision. My father was in advertising. He was an artist. I grew up watching him draw and create, and he often took me with him in the evenings, and I would sit next to him on the floor, and I would color or use magic markers, and always felt that that's what I wanted to do. It was never any doubt in my mind that I would go into advertising. Didn't plan to own an advertising agency, but I think I had the genes in me to do that.
You went to art school right out of high school?
Yes, I went to York Academy of Arts.
Mm-hmm. And got your start, obviously, working for other people.
Worked as an art director and designer and creative director for a number of Lancaster-based advertising agencies before breaking out on my own.
We'll talk a little bit about the development of your firm here as we go along. But as far as your personal skills in the advertising craft, what do you see as your strength?
I would say my strength is in creative thinking.
Okay.
While I am a graphic designer by trade, I always focused more on the creative thinking aspect of the business. And that translated from creative thinking for design into creative thinking for marketing strategies.
So if a firm that you hadn't worked with before approached you and said, you know, we really need to start thinking about how we present ourselves to our buyers or to the public, what would be some of the first conversations you would have with someone who is at a beginning point of a marketing relationship?
I often ask a lot of questions about trying to understand the culture of that business, the personality of that business, the goals of that business, because the brand is there. They may not already realize it, or the marketing strategies are there. They just need to be understood, captured, and communicated. So We don't create things. We look deep enough to understand what is there, what are the important things to use in communicating that message.
So you're really trying to understand the business to the point where you can understand what is there that needs to be communicated rather than creating something that doesn't already exist.
Absolutely. And it's often not sitting on the desk of the marketing director. It's often in the heads of the owners or leaders. It's in the actions of the frontline people, in the salespeople. You have to look deep into a business. You can't merely say, this is what we're going to do on day one, because it takes some discovery.
And certainly there's a process involved there, and necessarily a cooperative one.
It's a process that works best when it's interactive and engaging on both ends, and when the business understands why we're asking the questions we ask, and they really give us the thoughtful answers.
And sometimes I suspect that the people that you're asking those questions of learn some things about themselves that are certainly helpful to the marketing and creative process, but perhaps even things that they learn about their own company that can be built upon and expanded, hopefully.
Absolutely. I love to be in a meeting with an owner or a leader and ask a question that they can't answer off the top of their head. They have to think about the answer. It forces them to think differently. They were expecting me to take notes, and I love it when they're taking notes because they're making notes to apply certain things after the meeting.
And isn't it especially fun when you have maybe a group of leaders, say a management team or something in the room that you're conversing with and going through this process, and they begin to talk to each other?
Yes.
And it's not so important that Scott Sheffy or Roger Norse in the room at that point. It's important that they're talking to each other about their business, about their culture, about the way that they want to roll out their products or services, or the way that they want to service their customers, and they're starting to get engaged with each other around things that they might not otherwise converse about.
And that's why it's important that you don't only talk to one person.
Yeah.
You ask for a diverse group of people in that organization, and they hear things for the first time in that meeting.
Do you think of yourself at this point, when I say yourself, I mean your firm, do you think of yourself as an advertising firm, or is there a broader way that you would express what you do, a better way for people to understand how you relate to your clients?
You first mentioned the name of the firm. It was Sheffy Integrated Marketing, but then you also said Sheffy Advertising.
Did I? I apologize. Well, I know it's been changed.
Well, we started out as Sheffy Advertising, and I found that I spent the first 10 or 15 minutes explaining to people that we're more than an advertising agency. And over the course of 5 or 6 years, we expanded so far beyond merely advertising. I was telling people that advertising was one of the strategies of a marketing communications program. And some of the services that we expanded or brought into our business, we really had to change our name because people thought we were only an advertising agency when we do a lot of interactive work. We do a lot of public relations work. We do a lot of marketing work. We came up with the name Sheffy Integrated Marketing. We often are called consultants, and a lot of what we do is consulting in the marketing and sales areas, but it always goes back to strategies in the areas that we serve.
And so it really came to a point where your original name got in the way of communicating effectively for you what your true value would be to a client.
Correct. We had a bad brand, and we had to correct that brand.
Well, I guess at some point have to find some time to put your own house in order. And being closely related to you in both friendship and business, it's just been a fascinating pleasure to watch what's occurred with you and your firm over the last 2 years. It has to be one of the most exciting times in your business life. And you know, I'd just love to talk a little bit about your move to a really special building on New Holland Avenue in Lancaster and acquisition of a couple of firms, which I think have really strengthened your value in the marketplace. Tell us a little bit about some of the exciting developments over the last 2 years.
We have had a lot of change in the past 2 years. In 2004, we were 8 people in Manheim Township in a very old building built in 1800. We decided to move into a newer building, which was built in 1880. So we're in downtown Lancaster in a converted tobacco warehouse, which is an exciting place for our team to be. Our clients love coming there.
Fabulous building.
There's a lot of energy in downtown Lancaster, and we're certainly catching part of that. Along the way, starting in 2004, we had an opportunity to acquire a design firm and brought 3 people over from that firm. It really strengthened our creative department because we were really maxing out our capacity, but yet our clients were continuing to want more services from us, and we were attracting new clients as well. We also were expanding in our public relations area, so we had to add some new team members there. And then in the summer of 2005, we brought on an interactive team. We acquired a 4-person firm that beefed up our one-person firm, or one person at the time. Interactive is and continues to be the biggest growth of our business because more of our things that we're doing involve Interactive.
And when you say Interactive, could you explain a little bit more what you mean by that term?
Interactive services at our firm include website development, e-commerce programs for our clients' websites, search engine marketing, and other interactive forms of marketing like banner ads on websites.
Okay. So you needed really to expand both the numbers of people that you had servicing the needs of your customers in those areas, as well as get a greater depth of expertise in an area that seems to me to be very, very technical and expertise driven.
Absolutely. We needed more help designing websites, but the people that we brought on had a much deeper expertise that enabled us to offer more of that to our clients.
I found it fascinating to watch the growth of your firm, the growth of your reputation, the growth in the number of people that you've had at a time when it appears to me that the overall marketing business or advertising business appears to be struggling, and that seems to be almost a five-year struggle. When I read articles about the marketing or advertising business, when I read annual reports about people's marketing budgets, when I talk to other small marketing or ad firms, they all talk about how difficult it's been since September 11th, 2001. And I'm sure you've had your difficult times, but you've really been able to go against the tide, have you not?
We have. We've continued to grow each year. September 11th, 2001 did play a big part in the drop in our industry. So did other conditions. But because we were integrated and because of the relationships that we had with our clients at a very deep level, we just transferred budgets from one area to another. They may have cut their advertising budgets, but they asked us to come up with more creative thinking, more strategic thinking ways to help their businesses. That's where the consulting emerged even more, to the point where we spent a lot of time with their sales forces asking what we can do to help them with their sales, not designing ads, not printing brochures, but doing things to help strengthen their businesses.
It's interesting. I hear a lot of conversation today that I don't think I even ever heard the term maybe 3 or 4 years ago around building a brand. And you speak that language now too, and you're helping me do that with my firm. And I've appreciated that. And it's always come out of conversation we've had about our culture and the way we want our customers to be serviced and how we want them to feel and so forth. And it seems now that the idea of the effect that a brand has on the marketplace, on the buyer, on the consumer is much more in the mainstream of what business people talk about. Educate us a little bit about the concept of branding and then maybe what it takes to build an effective brand.
You're right. There are many different concepts of what a brand is. Even within our industry, there are different concepts. So it's a difficult word to communicate for people to understand. Really what a brand is, it's not a logo. It's not an advertising program. It is an experience that the consumer has with your company, with your product, with your service. And for that reason, a brand is organic. It changes yearly, weekly, daily. You spoke about the Nike brand. That's probably a great example because it is so obvious to everyone. But when Nike came out, they were certainly behind Adidas and Puma in their brand. And you look at what they've done over the years, they've created a brand that was built around well-known athletes. They emphasized performance. For children and youth, it was the sneaker to be wearing. For parents, the brand was those ridiculously expensive sneakers that the children have to have.
Sure.
The brand also evolved into sweatshops. Not all brand qualities are positive. The brand then evolved into Tiger Woods.
Yes.
And I suspect in a few years it's going to be Michelle Wie.
And was Michael Jordan.
It was absolutely, yes.
That was their
I missed that small period in time. It was Michael Jordan.
I wondered if there are other brands out there that you see as a professional being particularly effective in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Another great case study is FedEx. Starting out as Federal Express, they just went to FedEx because they realized that that's what everybody was calling them. So they were forced to change their logo to reflect their true brand, which was FedEx. And for many years, when you see that FedEx logo, what do you think of?
Absolutely, positively.
Overnight.
Overnight, yes.
It is a brand, but more importantly, it's an experience or an expectation.
And a promise.
That they promise to deliver, mm-hmm. and they do deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So Federal Express has done a tremendous job with that. Certainly, you can't have a conversation about brands and ignore McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola,
mm-hmm.
Pepsi, all very powerful brands. But again, they have to be delivered through experiences on the consumer side. They have to deliver a quality product or a quality service, or you're going to have a brand that's different from the intended message from the company.
That's right on what my next question was going to be, is can the marketing of a brand stand on its own if the delivery of the customer experience does not meet the expectation that the brand has built?
You will have two brands. You will have a brand that the company is intending to convey, and you'll have a brand that people are communicating word of mouth through their experiences. The problem with that is the more you try to overcome that with marketing dollars and put your brand out there, the more negative conversations are occurring. It's very important that your brand is not only thought about in the marketing department, but it's thought about in your manufacturing department, in your customer service department, all throughout your company.
So essentially, it's bringing perception and reality together in the customer experience.
Absolutely.
When someone comes to you and says something broad like, Scott, I'd like to have you help me build a powerful brand, I think you've already told us where you start, and I understood the value of that. What are some things that your company would go about doing in order to bring a brand to life?
We ask to interview people within the company. We want to get as much information from them because we understand that we get different stories from different people within the company. We like to look at what their industry is doing, what their competitors are doing. And we also want to know who the target audiences are for that product or service, because that's who we need to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be sure that the brand that we're going to create using the characteristics that already exist are what the consumers want in a way that they want them. It's a process that takes a number of months. In a recent case with a client, it took nearly a year, but they were so proud of that brand because it communicated what they have been doing for years in a way that the consumers already understood. We didn't present a brand that they had to try to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the new brand communicated, they already agreed that that's what that company stood for.
Scott, I remember 9 years ago when I was starting North & Shantz, and you and I sat down in our little shared office there and started to talk about some concepts as to what our name ought to be and what logo we wanted to have. And back then, it was just kind of a concept. It was a thought and a dream as to what our company would become over the next few years. And it's been so rewarding to me to have you work with me over all those years and really have people say, this is why I do business with North & Shantz. And when I see that name, when I see that compass, those are the things that I think of. And for me, even in our little small marketplace, in our little small corner of the world, it's been a great example of you understanding up front perhaps some things that I didn't even know that our organization would become, and bring that perception and reality together. And as we look to the future and doing that again sometime here in the near future, I'm excited about working with you again and just expanding the value of our company and its brand into the marketplace. So thanks for walking with me over 9 years on that.
Thank you, Roger. I've enjoyed it.
Scott, you and I have been great friends. We've learned a lot, talked a lot about leadership together over the years. And I just wondered, you know, what's a couple of leadership lessons that you've learned along the way as a committed business leader?
For me, I'm living out my values mm-hmm. and my commitments on a daily basis. And I've surrounded myself with people who may not necessarily have those same values and commitments, but they understand how important they are to me. So it's been easy to be a leader in an organization where we all have a common goal of where we want to go and how we want to go about doing that. So for me, having a genuine and consistent leadership style is just the same for me in the business world and the same in the personal side as well. I also really emphasize having a team mm-hmm. because nobody wants to be the leader of a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough to be a leader of an organization, but if you're a leader of a bad team, that makes it even more difficult. And I've been blessed, and it's been some hard work, and it's been some luck, and it's been a lot of time invested in surrounding myself with a terrific team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes leadership very easy.
What I hear you saying is it's not a technique, it's a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
I think that great leaders, people that I've had the opportunity to talk with, even on these recordings over the years, really get that. And it's not a technique, it's a lifestyle. And living the life of a committed leader is not easy. It requires commitment, it requires accountability, and it requires friends to help us and speak the truth to us along the way. You've been that kind of friend to me, and I thank you, and I just had a ball talking with you here on Straightforward today. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you, Roger.
Have a great day, everyone.
North & Shantz continues to provide direction for your future through sustained relationships. We identify issues by conducting assessments, providing assistance during organizational transitions, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.